Well, let's turn to Galatians chapter 6 as we wrap up our studies in Galatians. It's been a great time, very liberating to be reminded, actually, even of the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. What an encouraging, exciting thing just to be reminded, our hearts stirred again about, man, we have this this freedom. We're no longer bound to, the rules and regulations and the restrictions and the things that are associated with religion, but we're set free in relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is always so encouraging, so freeing, and such a huge blessing to be a part of that and to be connected with the Lord in that way. Paul obviously felt very burdened by that and wanted to remind them, as many would come in, and it's not uncommon, if I could speak kind of just openly about this, what happens is any body of believers, a church, as God's developing and doing a work, it kind of creates a culture, basically, you know, a culture of how we kind of do, you know, ministry and kind of how we want to flow. And certainly we want to be centered around Acts. We want to be a New Testament body of believers. We want to take in the whole counsel of God's word from Genesis to Revelation. You know, I really believe that that's important, that that's significant. And we also want to be living lives that are set free. We want to walk in the Spirit, and we want to let God have his way in and through our lives. And so I think it's just a good thing to reconnect with maybe what the culture of the ministry is here, because there's many times that there's an ebb and flow, and sometimes there are those that might want to place different kind of restrictions on how we maybe even approach things. And I really pretty much reject that. I don't go with that real well, because it's going to be detrimental to what God's doing. And so we want to let God have his way, and we want to be free in the Lord to worship him and to just let our lives have a good flavor to it of freedom and grace and goodness. And so that's kind of one of the great focuses in Paul writing back to Galatians and telling them, hey, stay the course with what God started. Remember in the early chapters, having begun in the Spirit, are you now going to be made perfect through the efforts of the flesh? You know, certainly not. That's, you know, Paul's conclusion. And so I think that's important. Chris had mentioned that our devotional thing with our men's group yesterday, and one of the things that he talked about was, I just talked about becoming jaded. And I think that's not just for a men's group, but that's for all of us. You know, we can just kind of get jaded. It just kind of goes into kind of an autopilot. And, you know, when someone mentions about, man, the Lord is going to come back one of these days. He's going to set his foot back on this earth. He's going to rapture the church, you know. And we can just think, well, you know, I'm not sure what I really think about that. And, you know, we can go into all these theological bents and all this other stuff. And we just lose the enthusiasm of God at work. You know, that God's at work, that God's moving, that God's at work. Or maybe you look at someone's life and you say, man, you know, there's just no hope for them. There's just no hope for them. Well, that's not part of this church culture here. I don't believe that. I believe there's hope for everybody in the person of Jesus Christ, or I wouldn't do what I'm doing, or I certainly wouldn't do what I'm doing, and I certainly wouldn't have hope for others in doing what I'm doing. I really believe that God still changes lives. I really believe that God still desires to change lives. I believe that God still desires to change you and me, that God still wants to do that. And I really think that one of the things that we're struggling with in the church at large is that, not necessarily just here really in our gatherings, but in the church at large. Do I think it can affect us? Yes, because it's the church at large around us. But there's this apathy, this whole, you know, it's just the way it is, and, you know, they're messed up and who cares, and I'm going to try and do this and that. You know, we just kind of go into this bubble world in our minds, and it's that's what I mean by being jaded. You know, whatever. It just doesn't really matter. Things are just kind of the way they are. And, you know, that's it. And I don't believe that. I don't believe that to be true. But I believe there's really a hope. I believe that there are those that are trying to make the church, the voice of the church, just, you know, kind of quiet or quench that voice. You know, because it's not politically correct or acceptable to talk about the things of the Lord in certain environments and certain places, and all these restrictions are being placed on Christians in that sense. This is just permeating through our whole society. Your workplaces where you are oftentimes held to these kind of constraints and restrictions, but that doesn't mean you can't talk about the Lord with another employee that you work with out at lunch somewhere. That doesn't mean you can't be vocal about your faith in certain opportunities and situations. I understand, maybe not specifically in certain workplaces. Well, the idea is that I believe it's an evil. This is what I believe. I believe it is an evil that is causing this to help to quiet us from being open about the fact that God can deliver and that God can change lives. Most all of us are a byproduct. Some of you were wonderful people, and you got saved, and you're even more wonderful people, and I salute you, and I think that's awesome. Some of the rest of us were really messed up people, and not really very nice people, maybe, and not motivated well, and yet God saved us, and we're grateful to the Lord, and God's grace abounds, and that's an exciting thing, and that's the body of Christ as a whole. But it's all focused and centered around the transforming power of Jesus Christ. And so when we talk about that idea of being jaded, I think there's a demonic force behind that to just kind of get us to kind of just, you know, accept or go along with worldly mindsets and just, you know, kind of just start getting caught up. And, well, you know, it's just the way it is. And, you know, and we just get caught up in that mentality and start flowing like that and miss the fact that God's at work and that God wants to move. God wants to deliver. God wants to do something special and unique in our areas, in our workplaces, in our cities, where you live, in your neighbors, that God wants to move. But he needs us to be open to that, to let him move through us. That's part of the concept of the idea. So how do we determine get through this idea of what if I am jaded? Because quite frankly, probably several of you are. I mean, it just happens to us. I struggle with it. We all struggle with it. It's part of being in this condition. But what do I do? How do I help that? Because the thing is I believe, and we've talked about this before, this idea of liberal theology. We talked about this briefly yesterday, but liberal theology, for example, the idea that really, a good portion of this in here is idealism and basically mythical. Liberal theology basically teaches that there's a lot of this is mythical. In particular, very much of the Old Testament is mythical. That's liberal theology teaches that. And I believe, and I understand that this kind of is maybe offensive to some, but a lot in the emergent church would start to embrace that concept, that's somewhat mythical. And that these are just kind of ideas and concepts that are put forward. And we often talk, and I mentioned this yesterday, we often talk about that idea that it's a little bit mythical, that people then are saying that maybe the Red Sea, and we talk about that very often, you know, the Red Sea, for example, that when it parted, that it really didn't do that. They didn't really cross on dry land like you and I would think of dry land. It wasn't really what happened when we saw the Ten Commandments and Moses touched the water and they crossed through. It wasn't really like that at all. It was more that there was this land bridge and they crossed on this land bridge and everything. Okay, so let's say we all even agree with that. Let's say that we agree with that. I don't, but let's say that we did for argument's sake. But then that doesn't explain the whole Egyptian army drowning in 6 to 8 inches of water. Now, if you believe that, then I've got property that I would like to sell you that I have no title to, of course. You get what I'm saying? It's to me, that's the kind of thing that's permeating, though. And so many are embracing it. And so many are embracing an understanding of God, a theology about God, that I can just live however I want and that's grace, that I can live whatever way I want and do whatever I want, and God loves me and God accepts me and I can just live and however. God loves you and accepts you, but he loves you too much to leave you like you are. He wants to transform and change our lives. So it's not this ticket to try and find out how much I can still sin and do whatever I want to do, but and still have everlasting life, which seems to be a shrouded goal. It's kind of covered up, a shrouded goal within many who would embrace a liberal theology because it's basically innocuous, right? It doesn't really infect anyone. It doesn't impact anyone. It's a social gospel, basically. And that's not what I believe Paul. I don't think that's what Jesus brought to the world. I don't believe it. I don't believe any of that to be true. I believe we have something that's very potentially very infectious, and I think that's why the enemy fights very hard against it. So what do I do? How do I deal with this? In Hebrews, it talks very clearly about this, and then we'll get into Galatians because Galatians is going to move real fast. You're thinking, oh my gosh, he hasn't even gotten started with Galatians yet. Is this going to ever end? You're getting jaded, brothers and sisters. You got to kind of... In Hebrews... chapter 5, verse 14. We'll only talk about verse 14. The thought is from verses 12 through 14, but we're going to only hit verse 14. Listen to what verse 14 says. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. And it's talking about growing and being mature. And it says, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The thought is this, that the Holy Spirit is putting forth, because I suppose we could hang around and debate who really authored Hebrews. I think Paul the Apostle, but hey, you can think whoever you want. We all know, we'll agree that the Holy Spirit authored it, right? So we can agree on that. So the Holy Spirit, as the author of this, God wanting to import something to our lives, says, hey, by reason of use, solid food, and he's talking about the meat of God's word. So he's talking, so you and I getting into the word then helps as we exercise the word, as the word goes into our lives. This is what happens with limited exercise right here, guys. So, okay, that's limited exercise right there. That's continuing to eat solid food, but limited exercise. So we don't want to be like this spiritually, right? We want to be a little more fit spiritually. So we want to take in solid food, but then we want to exercise. So there's what? There's the teaching, and then there's the testing. That's kind of how the exercising works with the Lord. There's the teaching, the instruction about it, and then there's the challenge to walk in it, to exercise that. So now you begin to develop and grow. And it helps you and I when we're in the Word. We then begin to discern both good and evil. The more you're in the Word, the more you're handling the truth, the more you and I will recognize the deception and the lies. I think it's very juvenile. I think it's very watered down for us to think or develop this thought process that God needs to be something I can fully comprehend and I can explain everything about it. But that's the mindset of a liberal theology, that I can explain every bit of it. You know what? I am so thankful that I have a relationship with a God that I can honestly tell you there's a lot of it I can't explain at all. He asked me to believe and to trust him. He doesn't ask me to explain all of it. How God could speak the world into being and look at the stars and the vast universe and a God, how do I explain? I just believe that because he said he did that. And I believe him for it. And I think it's wise for us, instead of trying to, because that's minimizing, making God something that I can comprehend. And basically then my mind becomes God, if it's something I can always tangibly understand. So I personally reject liberal theology. Personally, I don't believe it bears the truth. And I believe they spend more of their time trying to discern which part is truth, which part isn't truth, and all this stuff, than just taking it and taking the counsel of God's word. All scripture is given, all of it, it says, and that it's all good. God breathed, that it's all good, and that it's all given for us to help us, to give us instruction and help. I really think it's so important because we live in a time, how do you discern? How do I help myself to stay from being jaded? Get in the Word. Stay in the Word. It'll help you. It'll keep you from becoming jaded to the things around us. So, verse 1, we're going to get right through this first few verses because we taught through it last week. But brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So if someone is overtaken by in a trespass, the enemy has taken opportunity. It wasn't a premeditated thing on their part. They just got caught up and fell into a demonic trap of sorts. And we're to restore, basically reset that bone is what the real rendering of restore means in that verse 1. And it says that we're to do that in a spirit of gentleness. And then it says that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's a loving thing to do, to come alongside and bear one another's burdens. Sometimes that can be just a pleasant, kind word. Sometimes that can be just an interaction. Sometimes that can be, frankly, just showing, do whatever you believe is loving in that matter, and you're probably going to not be far off course. It's pretty simple. You know, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, love. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And this whole lot, that's tied into this considering yourself lest you be tempted. Knowing that, hey, you don't do it in a condescending way. We do it in a way that's understanding that, hey, man, I could fall in that same trap. You know? You do that in an understanding that, hey, by God's grace, I'm able to help you in this time. I hope in God's grace you'll be able to help me sometime. You know, it's that kind of a mindset, that kind of a heart. It's done through humility. But let each one examine his own work, and he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And then this idea of this kind of ties back into verse 26 of chapter 5 of this kind of comparing and this thing of you know, well, what did you do and how did you do this? And, you know, comparing ourselves with each other. That's not what we're supposed to do. And then it's interesting, verse 5 says, for each one shall bear his own load. And the early days of reading that long ago, I often would think, well, gosh, God, what should make up your mind, man? Am I to bear somebody's burden or am I to encourage somebody to bear their own load? Again, I go back to Hebrews. I need to be in the Word in order that I might have a discerning heart to know which situation that is. Because sometimes it's very difficult to navigate that. Which situation is this? Am I supposed to help this person or am I supposed to tell this person, hey, you got to get with it. You gotta get with it, you know. Stay on the trail. Stay with it. Stay with it. Very important discernment to decide, because there are those and times where we need that encouragement. Stay on the course. Stay with it. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. So we do this, and this is part of a basic reciprocation in ministry as a body of believers. As we're receiving God's word, we're also opportunity through tithes and offerings as we do and different activities that we function in and help serve in the body of Christ. We just work together in the Lord to serve and do ministry. It's just kind of a simple concept that we're interactive and working together. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For, in verse 8, If he sows to his flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. So, great exhortation in verse 7 and 8 to us. And this is really a spiritual law that is in motion. And that spiritual law that is in motion is the law of sowing and reaping. It's a spiritual law. It's just no different than physical laws that we have in our universe. There's spiritual laws that are in motion and in place too. And this is one of them. And so some people say, well, you know, I don't understand why I'm still, you know, going through this difficulty or this situation from things that went on long ago or whatever. Well, that's just part of the sowing and reaping, isn't it? We all know that. And this is why I encourage people, hey, the sooner you start sowing in the Spirit and staying focused on the things of the Lord. And we learned about what that might be, the things of the Spirit, in chapter 5 of Galatians. Think about it. Those things that were mentioned there are the outworking of the work of love. So it's patient, it's kind, it's long-suffering. You know, these things are things that God would want to do in and through our lives. That fruit, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. These things are things that God does in and through our lives. This is the fruit of his presence. It's better to be sowing in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, than continuing in the flesh and sowing in the flesh. This idea of sowing in the flesh for all of us, as we do that, there's going to be then this harvest that we're getting in. And we've talked about this many times, I know that. It's something that I'm pretty passionate about because every one of us have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Every one of us have interaction with all kinds of other people. Every one of us have attitudes. You know, we just do. We can cop attitude about things and we can get, you know, cranky one day or whatever, and we can kind of be quick to the draw on a sharp word or something. We all know how that can go. That's a fleshy response. And there's going to be a return to that. Man, I tell you, there are so many, the Lord gives us an opportunity that it's that split second moment, just that moment in time where you realize, man, I can respond this way. And I mean, it is just a flash sometimes, or I can respond this way. Some of you guys know, some of you, you're different. Maybe you're more genteel fellows, and I respect that. That's wonderful. But some of us, all of a sudden, you know, our ears can start getting warm. You know, we can feel, man, I'm going to blow. You know, you can just feel it happen. Some gals, this happens to you too. I know that. You know, you can feel your ears getting warm. You can feel your face kind of getting flushed a little bit. Like, I am going to blow. And this is that split second opportunity, man. I can say something kind and walk away from this, or I can just start lopping off heads, you know. God help us all, you know, really. Think about this. I remember this, and I've shared this before, but there was this one specific time where I was interacting with my older sister. I only have one sister, so I was interacting with my sister. She just happens to be older. I like to mention that a lot, but especially as we get older. But I was interacting with my sister, and it was kind of, I suppose it was kind of a sensitive thing. I really don't even remember the topic anymore. It was kind of a serious discussion, kind of a sober discussion, and we're talking about things, and I was accurate in what I was going to say. I'm serious. I knew I was accurate, and the Lord just said, I could hear the voice of the Lord in my heart, Jim, do not say that. Don't go there. This is a bad idea. And I hear that voice, like, no, you know, I'm going to make my point here. I'm going to make sure she knows this is how I see this situation, you know. So I don't listen to the voice of the Lord. I did not walk in the Spirit. This is horrible. And I said something, and I'm telling you, those words came out, and as soon as they're coming out, I could see the words flying around almost. And I'm trying to grab those things. I should not have done that. I mean, the eyes welled up instantly, tears start coming, and she was upset. And there was no reason to do that. It didn't have to be like that. Now I'm reaping of this, and I've got to deal with a whole nother problem that I wouldn't have had to dealt with her. And now I've got to, you know, apologize. Hey, I didn't. I'm sure that came off different than what I meant. It was all horrible. That's the split second I'm trying to give you. I'm giving you a split second understanding of those times. I have many of these. I could write a devotional book on these. But there's many things like that in life. You and I have a split second. Even if you're right about something, is that worth it to make your point? Porcupines have a lot of points, but they're very difficult to embrace. I think you get the point. So, this idea of sowing and reaping is so important because think about the course of a day, how many coarse things we can say to people. And even if we're right about it, is that what's necessary? There's even times where you can say a very firm, direct thing in a very loving way. Sometimes you can preface it like this. You can say, hey, I think this might sting a little bit. This might hurt a little bit, but I really think it's important that you know what needs to be said. And I think as Christians, sometimes speak the truth in love. I think sometimes there's an obligation to be very frank about a situation or a matter, to be very, very clear. There's a right way to say things, you know, but what is it going to produce? Is this going to bear potential fruit to God's glory? You know the stories too about, giving people a piece of your mind. Many of us don't have that much to spare. So be wise. You might be giving away too much of it, you know? I make light of something that's very serious. It's a serious matter. God has placed this spiritual law in motion. And so you need to know about it because, again, that's part of what happens with the giant burn pile we have on the other side. When we die, we go to be with the Lord. And there's either going to be this big burn pile of, hey, all these things that you did. And I even did them at church. I even was doing this. And but you didn't do them with the right heart, man. And it just burns, you know. It's just going to burn because the motivation wasn't right in it. Or it could be, so it's either wood, hay, and stubble. That's the stuff that burns real quick. Or it's the things of the Lord that are precious stones, jewels, things that really matter. And those are the things that we did, motivated in the love of God and empowered by the Spirit to do them. So this is the end result. You get the idea. Man, I want to see you guys have a lot of jewels in your crowns. If I even get a crown, I'll be excited. But I want to see you guys with lots of jewels in your crowns, man. That's what it's about. That's really when it's all said and done. And let us not grow weary, in verse 9, while doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Sometimes, isn't this true? Praying for someone. Maybe a spouse, a friend, a loved one, a coworker, someone you really dislike, you know? But you're praying for them. Don't lose heart. Man, stay with it. Don't grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Man, stay with it. It's very, very challenging sometimes, but man, stay with it. Any of you who've been involved in sports or certain things, I did so much backpacking as a younger guy. You can tell I do a lot now. I'm just packing around as best I can what I've got on me, but in days gone by, I mean, I remember we had 65-pound backpacks on this one trip. It was a long trip. It was a 17-day trip out in the high Sierras and packing. But I remember we climb over mountain passes. These are, 12, 13,000-foot passes that we were going up and over. And I remember coming through some of these and just thinking, man, it's just all you can do is throw one foot in front of the other. Other times, climbing up to certain mountains in the mountain range that were, again, anywhere between 10 and 14,000 feet. These are involved hikes, involved day trips. But going up on the trail, and you kind of get up and you get in this place where it gets cloudy. And all you can barely see is the trail. You can't see the goal anymore. You can't see the mountain peak. You can't see any of this. And you just hike and you're hiking, and you just get so weary. It's like, man, what is the point of this? Sometimes our Christian experience is like that, but you got to keep moving, keep following the Lord. On the plains of hesitation lie the countless bones of many who, sitting down to rest, resting there, died. It's important, unknown author to me, but the idea of that concept with that poem, we can sit down to rest, thinking we need to take a break, even in our Christian journey, sit down to rest. But resting there, die. We're to stay engaged, keep moving, because all of a sudden you break through the clouds and there's the peak and you're not far off. And oh, the vast view. You can see off at a distance now the Pacific Ocean, Catalina Island, some of the Channel Islands. You turn around, there's all the San Gabriel mountain range. Off to the other side, all the San Bernardino mountain range, the big whole LA basin, the San Gabriel, San Fernando, all the valleys. You turn back around the other way and you look out and you see all the Mojave Desert. You see the desert floor where all, Palm Springs and all these places are. This is just from that one vantage point. Which do we want to choose? Mount Baldy? Yes, that would be good. We can see it from there. All these different mountain peaks, you could see that kind of a vista view from there. It's wonderful. But you only see that for when you do the time to hike up the trail and, you know, go and get to that point. Let's not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. That's right. Let's do good to all. Let's take care of it. That's right. But especially to those who are of the household of faith. I think that's important. I think it's important. There is a brotherhood in the sense, and a sisterhood, and brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's do good to all. But man, let's be conscious of the body that's around us, the brothers and sisters. Let's be aware of that. It's good. We look around us. Our world's in desperate need, but there's a lot of people hurting in our immediate surroundings. See with what large letters Paul says, I have written to you with my own hand. He said, I'm even penning this out now. Remember, he had vision problems. He says, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, to try and follow these rules and these regulations. This word compel is kind of a term that we would see very persuasive and pressuring you, like a high pressure. And this is, maybe some of you sell used cars. This is not against any of you, okay? But you're known by many of us as high pressure salesmen, okay? So this is that kind of high pressure, you know, people pushing on you real hard to do take action on this, but they compel you, and it's to make a good showing in the flesh, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law. But they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. That was part of the last week's comparison thing of, you know, they're like us now. You know, they're a part of us now. And that's the showing. And Paul says, no, that's not what it's really about. He says, but God forbid that I should boast except. So not boasting in these others or these things that I've compelled others to do. He says, that's not what it's about. He says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I love the fact that Paul brings all this theological stuff back into one main thought of, man, let's get people into the saving knowledge of the person of Jesus Christ. That's the focus. Get people to the cross. Get people. That's really what it's all about. And he says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And that is that idea of being born again. That's what avails. That's what profits. Being born again of the Spirit, giving our lives to Jesus Christ. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. And he's just talking about the church of and the body of Christ. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my own body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He says, basically, they wanted to leave their mark on you, circumcision, right? They wanted to leave their mark. You follow our rules. You kind of can be a part of our thing now. And it's Jesus is great, but we want this. You need to do this too. And then you'll really be a full-fledged believer. It's that kind of thought process. He says, no, I bear in my own body the marks of the Lord. Think of the times that he's been whipped and beaten because he preached the simple gospel message, that it is about Jesus Christ and not about these works. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So Paul finishes this strong in his determination to give us good illustration and good understanding about really walking with the Lord and following the Lord. And I think good words for us about sowing and reaping and about not losing heart. Stay on the trail. Keep moving. You know, I'm never concerned about where someone is at on the trail specifically, because everybody's growing and we're all developing at different pace, you know. But the key is stay on the trail. That is what I'm concerned about, is that you stay on the trail. And what I mean by that is, in simplicity, keep following the Lord. I love Acts 2:42 because it keeps it right where we need to be. Prayer, fellowship, the Word of God, and communion.